Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
She let out this gasp, and that, you guys, was my rock bottom. Like, that noise that my mom made, that fear that she had for me to go to prison. We end up having the baby. It was one of the best days of my life. And again, in my mind, like I was living right, right? So I remember, like, I was going to work and I come home from work one day and she's like bouncing off the walls. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Well, she wasn't losing her baby weight fast enough. So she went to the doctor and they gave her like a diet pill that was basically just meth. It was
so amphetamine.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I've used it quite a bit.
Been there, done that, went crazy.
Didn't work for her.
The generic name on the bottle is amphetamine. And so like at that point in time, we clashed. I'm an opiate addict. I like downers. Now she's on uppers. And then that led her to Adderall. And then that led her to meth. It caused a lot of fights. She would go on these meth induced binges and leave me home with the kids. And she would come home after, 7 days of being gone and being this meth induced psychosis. We would get in fights. The cops would get called. As a male, I would be the one to go to jail for the night. And it was just a vicious lifestyle for a long time till it got to the point where like I couldn't even hold down a job because I couldn't rely on her to be home. I didn't know where she was going to be at any given moment. So like I didn't dare go to work and just not know where my kids were going to be.
Right.
So then I lost the apartment that we were in. And
how many kids do you have at this point?
She had one from a previous guy, and then we had ours. So my little boy was 2 at the time, and her little boy was 10 at the time. Brayden, my son's name's Brayden. Her son's name's Bryson. Brayden's 2 at the time, right? And so, like, I didn't know what to do when I lost that apartment. So I was told by a friend that there's these hotels in Provo that you can pay for them by the day. Life's going
to
be
good. I used to live in
there.
Provo, so I know downtown Provo has a few of those.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've never been to them, but I know where you're talking.
So I go to these hotels, and it's during the summertime, and like it's just like a constant party out there. Everybody's doing drugs, open free, out in the open. And like that's how I lived again for like another year. It was no place to have a kid, but again, in my mind, like I was doing the right thing. I was putting a roof over their head, right? And I kept letting Nicole in, and she would come and do the same things. It was just a vicious cycle. And then
I got a question real quick. To have a 10-year-old, you're in Provo at the hotel. What do you do about school and stuff?
Well, so I guess I better backtrack a little bit. So the 10-year-old is staying with her mom at this point in time.
Okay.
It's obvious that we are on drugs. To us, like, we don't think that people can see it. But, like, the mom's like...
there.
Of course.
Yeah. The mom's like, we're going to take the kid. You guys stay at the hotels. And even during that little hotel period, like, my mom took my son Brayden for a while, for, like, 2 or 3 months. And, like, she had him at his house. And then, we took him back. And she leaves on this meth-induced binge for, like, 7 days, comes back to the hotel room, and she's in this like super psychosis. She's out of her mind, and she's like opening 12-inch by 12-inch drawers, thinking that I'm hiding women in these drawers and I'm cheating. And there's a pair of There's a pair of scissors on the countertop. She picks up the pair of scissors, cuts her arm, calls 911 and says, I stabbed her. So again, there's like...
So she stabbed herself.
Yes.
And said, you did it.
Yes. This, no lie. This is real as real can be.
You're on psychosis. Remember how you were going to tell everybody on the internet that I did the stuff to your arms that you did?
I don't remember that. But
anyways.
Like I don't.
I've kind of been in a similar scary situation.
It's real, yeah. Dude. That meth-induced psychosis is real. If you've been up for 7 days and you're not eating,
this was like the sixth day of it.
Yeah,
when this happened. It was
And in her defense, too, right? Like when he first tells me this, I'm kind of like, okay, like, and I'm like nervous. I'm like, whoa, you got domestic stuff. Like, I don't know about this, but I definitely believe Sean.
So what I did was, again, it was summertime at these hotels, and there's a lot of people outside. So like, I run outside, and I'm like, out there, and I'm like, hey, like, I need you guys to be a witness that I'm not putting hands on her. The cops are on their way. Like, I need you guys to help me out here. And one of the dude that she had been off with for 7 days, like, he instantly tries to play Captain Save-A-Ho, and he's like, dude, it's wild. So me and dude are literally fist fighting, and I'm standing over the top of him, and I'm like, I'm punching him as the cops pull up. They put me in handcuffs. They put me in handcuffs. They start interviewing people, and they come to realize that I didn't in fact stab her. And so they're going to let me go. Well, the cop didn't search me as he was putting me in the car. But when he took off the handcuffs, he decided to search me. And I have some prescription pills in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up my first felony. Again, I'd been booked into Utah County Jail several times, but no felonies. Like, I just cruised right underneath that radar. You know what I mean? All those times selling OxyContin, like major crimes, was like pulling people over, leaving my house. But they just, I don't know why, but they never acted on it or whatever. I had been involved in many raids, but I don't know why. Like, I just kept getting away with it. You know what I mean? But I caught my first felony that day. And because she was so out of her mind, the cops wouldn't let my son Braden go with her. So they called her mom. And that was actually the last day I've ever seen my son. It was October 5th, 2014.
Wow.
What happened was, I went to jail for, I think, like 3 months. And in that 3 months, her mom decided that she didn't want a two-year-old. So she called her cousins, and her cousins were trying to get pregnant, couldn't get pregnant. So they took him in. Mm-hmm. DCFS had visited the jail and told me that was going to happen. And then when I got out of jail, like, I'm still this thug. I'm still this gangster, right? So the first thing I do is I get high and I call them and I say, hey, like, I'm coming to take my son. You're not going to stop me. I'll kick down your door. I'll take him. Like, you're not going to stop me. And that was a mistake, man. Like, in my recovery, like, I realized that was one of the biggest mistakes I made, because it scared them like terribly. And I think that plays a big part into why I still haven't seen him. But I could never get my shit together to get him back. They didn't have like custody of him or anything, but I could just never get my shit together to get him back.
Do they live in?
No, they live in Utah. I'm not going to, I know where, I like, I don't know the address.
Yeah, you don't tell us. I was just curious if they, another part of the country or whatever, that's all. Yeah.
No, they still live in Utah, but like, I could never pull it together, right? Like, at that point in time, that was the first time that I used a needle. I turned into a garbage can. Like, I was using whatever I could get my hands on, whatever, you know, whatever would get me high, whether it was heroin, meth, crack, Xanax, any prescription, you know what I mean? And so that's when I like started to really, that's when I like graduated from pharmaceuticals into like illicit street drugs, heroin, whatever. And then I didn't like really last in the hotels in Provo anymore, because when you get that far down in the hole, like, it's not really safe in Utah County. You know what I mean? Like, you can't really be homeless in Utah County without getting bothered by the police. So what I did was, I got on the front runner and I went up to Salt Lake, because in downtown Salt Lake, you can stay at the homeless shelter. You can use drugs out in the open. You can sell drugs out in the open. And then you could just go in the shelter at night, or you could just rest your head wherever you pass out, and the police aren't going to bother you. And I lived like that for about a year. So I'm like in my 30s now. And I lived like that for a year. And then during one summer, they had a sweep, their first sweep down there. And I sold to an undercover cop. That wasn't the first story with the Xanax. That was just, I just sold to an undercover cop. I caught a distribution. Naturally, I'm on the run from probation in Utah County for the previous felonies, right? So I go back on a probation violation. I go back on this new charge. And I think I did like 9 months in jail, a little bit of Salt Lake County, then transferred back to Utah County. While I was in jail this time, like this is when recovery and like treatment centers are starting to take off in Utah. Steps is a big one. While I was in jail, my mom comes to visit me and she's like, hey, we're going to get you out of jail when you get released and we're going to take you to Step Sober Living. And when I got out, I went to Step Sober Living and I was like, really, really making an effort at recovery at this time. I'm going to meetings. I'm a productive member inside the sober living home that I was at. At the time, like Steps didn't require you to go to their program. So I was going down and getting free treatment at the county building, but I was like, you know, working their program inside the sober living. Right. But like a lot of the behaviors were still there. I was still like chasing women, you know what I mean? Still just trying to be untouchable and above the law, get away with whatever I can, toe the line, do the bare minimum, you know, fake until you make it.
Right.
I ended up getting kicked out of the sober living over a girl. And the only thing I knew was to go back to Salt Lake. You know, I tried the Utah County thing for a couple of days. It didn't last very long. I think that I paid for a hotel room for like 7 days and didn't even use the full 7 days before I was back in Salt Lake. And just, you know, back to downtown, back to selling whatever, the same shit, until I sold to that undercover cop the second time. And yeah, I was on Xanax. They were across the street. I could see their squad cars. And the Xanax was just telling me that I was being fly and sold to an undercover cop again.
Probably like slow like this. You needed a little more anxiety.
You sold to 3 undercover cops or 2?
Twice.
Okay.
Like, hold on.
3 would have been too much.
It was within like a year and a half, 2 year period.
Okay.
But
how old are you or how long ago was it this?
I'm 42 now. I was 34 years old. So you can see like the progression there, right? Like the pharmaceuticals, all that justification, never having a job, no work ethic, whatever. Just, it was a survival mode. And when I sold to that undercover cop, I went to jail. That's an enhanceable charge. So it was a first degree felony. So essentially I'm facing a 5 to life. I was like shitting my pants. I was scared. I was terrified. I sat in Salt Lake County jail for 9 months and I was trying to fight it down to a second degree. Like I was going through the court system, you know what I mean? Like the not guilty, the public defender, you know, the song and dance. I'm sure everybody knows that song and dance. But like I ended up, like my mom, God bless her soul, like is still on my team. And she's like, hey, like you've never had a real chance at inpatient treatment. So Steps is going to take you. We're going to go to court and we're going to see if the judge will release you to Steps and maybe it will keep you out of prison. Right. And the judge went with it. Like it was like another chance. And yeah, it still like kept that sense of being untouchable there though. Of course.
Yeah.
Like
it's great news. This is happening, but it almost enables you to continue down the same path. That's at least that was my experience, right?
But when you're in jail, you will do anything, you will say anything to get out and get out of there, get out of whatever you're facing. You know what I mean?
Of course.
And so I went to Step St. George. Little backtrack. So while I was in jail, I got high for the last time. It was September 13th, 2017. It's actually my birthday. We're coming up on 8 years. I used meth in jail. That was the last time I got high. But so I did some frequent time in jail. My mind was clean. My mind was right. And they released me to Steps. And I went down to Steps in St. George. And like I have these charges hanging over my head. But the stupid behaviors are still there. Like I still was a thug. I still was chasing women. I was hoarding MP3 players. Like people would graduate and they would leave me their MP3 player. And I had like 9 MP3 players in a drawer. It was just stupid. I don't understand why like this was a good idea.
Right.
But I get caught with this girl in a kitchen pantry and this story's wild. So I think Kaylee told you this story. So they tell me that they're going to put a blindfold on me on Friday afternoon and I have to wear this blindfold.
Yeah. I heard this story. Now I did contract. Put on contract with all the women at my rehab, but I didn't do anything. But this did not happen to me. Anyways.
Back to you.
So I had to wear this blindfold Friday, Saturday, Sunday to the gym, at the dinner table, everything that I did, all through groups, everything.
That would drive me crazy.
Well, it was wild. Like, they were trying to teach me to ask for help, but like, you know, like, oh, I got this. I'm fine. I can do this on my own, right? So it was my understanding that on Monday in group, the blindfold was going to come off. And because I wore the blindfold all weekend, that I was going to be fine, right? So I'm like sitting in group.
This is the most amazing surprise I think I've ever heard in my entire life.
Wah, 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 wah.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in group Friday, Monday morning, and they're like going around the room. Everybody's talking. I'm like waiting patiently for my turn. This blindfold's on, sitting in my chair, listening intently, waiting for them to call my name. And I hear, Mr. Castleberry, you need to come with us. And I lift the blindfold up, and there's like 6 to 9 AP&P agents inside Steps Recovery. And they took me to jail.
You're done.
Yeah.
Did they took have me to enough jail. People there for you? Jesus.
Well, you know, I,
but they got
I wasn't.
That told Sean at one point too, I was like, God, I hope that I like get someone that like I can defend myself against. And I even told him, I was like, Heidi would kick my ass, so I'm just gonna be your friend.
She describes herself as feral
at that moment. Yeah,
it was wild.
I mean, I wish I could describe the sense of dread that came over me in that moment, but they take me to They take me to St. George Jail. I think I did the weekend there waiting for transport back to Utah County. I went back to Utah County. And even when I got back to Utah County Jail, like, there was still this talk that Steps was going to let me. I did 2 months in Utah County.
The cop showed up because you messed around with a girl in the pantry.
Well, because treatment kicked me out.
Kicked you out for that, and now you're back in custody.
Because I'm facing a first degree felony or a second degree felony or whatever, they're not going to let me walk out the doors of the treatment center. They're going to call my probation officer.
You can't keep it in your pants, so now you're going back to jail.
Yes,
pretty much.
Yes.
I go back to Utah County, and like again, I'm like just like playing out the court dates, like dragging out the court dates. I'm certain I'm going back to prison. I'm going to prison.
Dead.
But like there was just like this glimmer of hope. There was this talk of maybe we can get the judge to let you go to another treatment center. Steps got back on my team, and they're like, "Hey, we'll give you another chance. We'll just put you in another facility." And I played that out for 2 months. I went to court. Steps was in the court. I think Ty was there, as a matter of fact. It was either Ty or Julie Jackson came to the court date. My mom was in the gallery. My whole family was in the gallery. Like, I was 100% certain they were going to send me back to treatment. And the Utah County Jail says, no, Mr. Castleberry, we're going to send you to the Utah State Prison. And
point of the mountain, right?
Yes. Yes. At the time. It's not any longer.
It's gone now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the noise that my mom made at the point.
Yeah, close.
She let out this gasp. And that, you guys, was my rock bottom. Like, that noise that my mom made, that fear that she had for me to go to prison, you know, that kick in the gut to her was my rock bottom. And I went back and I did a couple days before they put me on transport. And I remember that I was like on the transport bus to the Utah State Prison. And I like had this thought of clarity that I was finally sick of my own shit. Like, I was finally sick and tired of Sean. I committed that day that no matter what was in front of me, when I got out, I was going to do whatever it takes to not go back. And so when I got to the prison, I didn't join any gangs. I didn't use any drugs in prison because it was just as easy to find drugs in prison than it was on the streets.
Yeah, that's commendable.
Not joining a gang in prison. How were you safe? Did you have any problems?
Like, to be honest, like,
I've never been to prison. I don't know.
We're being honest and we're being real. Like, I hung out with gang members, and like I was like, you know, became friends with people that were in gangs, but I just wasn't trying to do that politics. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. Like, I wasn't trying to be something that I wasn't anymore. You know what I mean? I wasn't willing to pick up another charge for stabbing somebody with a shank and do more time.
Right.
Like, I was trying to find people. I was trying to find people that were trying to get into programs, that were trying to do their time and go home and go back to their families. Right. And
so you were able to exist safely and not being in the gang.
It's not as bad as people make it sound.
I mean, but you are a big dude. Like, you know, you versus someone else who's like a small guy might have.
And at this time, I am working out. Like, this is when I found my passion for working out. I had done a lot of time. So I had done 9 months in the Salt Lake County Jail. I had done 30 days in steps. So I don't consider that being free because I'm still in a facility. And then 2 more months back in Utah County Jail. And then now I'm in prison. I did 13 months in prison. So I had done a substantial amount of time, right? So I'd worked out a lot. It gave me time to find myself. Like, I don't care what anybody says. Like, I really found my higher power inside that jail, inside those walls.
Yeah.
Like, I started meditating inside jail. I started praying. I told myself while I was in prison that if somehow I could find a way to be free up here, then I was free inside of there. As long as I was free up here, I was free there, right? And then my mom was still on my team. She got back on my team. It was getting close to my parole day. And she's like, hey, we're going to get you into another sober living, like, as soon as you leave here. And keep in mind, like, I wasn't required by parole to go back to sober living. I wasn't required by parole to go back to treatment. But, like, again, I was willing to do, like, it's my motto today. Like, I was willing to do whatever it takes to not go back, not go back to that lifestyle. So I went and I got released in 2018. And I hit the ground running. I was in sober living. And I'm not going to lie, I was still a knucklehead when I first got into sober living. But I went back to sober living. I got into an 18-month IOP program.
Wow.
Yeah. An 18-month IOP program. And because I, like, right outside of the prison gates, I was introduced to guys that were in that same program. And I legitimately started looking up to them so quick. Like, I wanted what they had. I wanted where they had progressed in their recovery. And so that's, like, a real thing. When people tell you go find a sponsor because you want what they have, like, that's a real thing.
And most individuals are still in our lives.
Heavily, like, in our lives.
They're family. They, you know, like, that. Those are our people.
Right.
And, like, right out of the prison gates, like, I started talking to Kaylee. She had lost her babies, and I seen the post on Facebook. And so, like, naturally.
Well, did you know each other before you went to prison, or?
Surprisingly, no. I think at some point we had, like, bypassed each other on the block. I think at one point he even tried to sell me drugs, but I was like, I don't buy from white people. It has to be
romantic.
But, like, our stories were similar, right? So that was, like, the conversation starter. And we conversated. So
you found each other on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. She made a post about her son's passing away. I commented and said, hey, I've been through that. I know how you're feeling.
We, like, knew all the same people. So my cousin, who shared the video of my son's, like, memorial, he commented on what she had shared because she made the video. And so they were mutual friends.
Yeah.
Got it.
We just started talking. I don't know. You froze for a minute. We just started talking and, like, to me, like, we were doing it right. You know what I mean? We were taking it slow. We were just having natural conversations over Messenger or text message or whatever. Like, we didn't really meet up. We weren't trying to hurry and meet up. And then we built this friendship and then decided to go on a couple dates. And then after a couple dates, she told me that she had an ex-boyfriend that was still.
Well, we hadn't met yet, but I did. We had not met yet.
Oh, yes, we did. We hadn't met yet. And she told me, she's like, hey, like, I'm still seeing this guy. He's my baby.
Well, like, you're not trying to be my friend. And I've got this situation going on over here. So I need to handle this situation before we meet in person. Because, like, yeah, you're not trying to be my friend.
I just want to be Heidi's friend.
I'll just say it was the shirt.
I did leave that situation, right? And again, this is all during Wayne. So my ex was also in prison at the time. So I did not want to leave him while all this was going on. But I will say that the relationship had been done, gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had pretty much run each other through the ground. And so I took a week.
Yeah, she told me, she's like, hey, I can't do this to my guy that's in prison. We're going to have to stop talking. And I was like, okay. And I think it was like a week or two later.
I hit him up.
She messaged me and she's like, hey, like, let's hang out. Like, I did the deal. I broke up with him. Like, let's hang out.
Sean, she told us yesterday that she has a thing for guys that have been to prison.
She loves felons.
Yes. Actually, that's what she said. Bad boys.
She likes them bad.
Not bad and naughty. Love it.
Hey, I spent like 2 hours in jail. So
I got my bad boy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You got like one tray, huh? So, but at the same time, I'm still committed to what I got going on. And a big rule inside my treatment center was that if you, they weren't opposed to you dating within the first year, but because I had already had almost a year underneath my belt of incarceration time, right? Like it was kind of seen a little bit different. And so the rule was if you started seeing somebody, then you had to bring them down into group and the group had to approve. And that's what we did.
Didn't do any dating while you were in prison?
No dating while I was in prison. No pen pals, nothing. Like I rode that train by myself. I had my mom and I had my family, and I rode. You know, I rode that whole prison train by myself. It was an eye opener, but man, it built so much character. But so I get out. I mean, I take Haley down to the group. The group approves of her. She starts going to group frequently, and like we were doing it right. You know what I mean? Like I was hopping on the UTA bus to go see her after I'd get off work, and then I would go to groups and I was like never late going home. To
where was Kaylee living at this point in time?
Like, she was in Orem.
I was kind of all over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, I was a little bit all over the place. I was staying with a couple of people. At this time, I didn't have my own place.
She was in the majority of Orem. My sober living was in Payson. So it was like a 20-minute bus ride.
And I had a car. So, I mean.
She had a car. So she'd come pick me up, take me home. But I was always on time. Like I was going to group. You know what I mean? Things were great. And I lived like that for 15 months. Like I was in that sober living for 15 months. So the better part of 15 months, like we were doing it the right way. You know what I mean? Like we were
focusing on what we needed to focus on.
She was focusing
on this is around 2020.
This is probably 2019. Yeah.
2020. We've been together for, we'll be this 2026 will be 6 years, but yeah. 2020. In the meantime, like I completed parole successfully. Never had any dirty UAs, never had any curfews, any run-ins with the law.
His PO was also my ex's PO at the same
time. So this, I want to share this with your listeners. So somebody told me something so profound. They told me that while I was in sober living, that when I got the urge that I wanted to leave, it wasn't the right time to leave. I needed to wait until either a therapist or a peer told me that it was my time to leave. And I took that to heart. That's why that's why we lived it. Well,
Sean and Kaylee, thanks for being on. We're looking forward to hearing the rest of your story, Sean, hearing Kaylee's and about your nonprofit.
Yeah.
So everybody out there around the world, stay safe and sober and be out there in the wild. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.